Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It is Sunday morning on The Fan. As a matter of fact, that's our song of the day. What? What's that all about? Check us out on Facebook over there on radio legend Bob Salter. You'll find out. Mungo Jerry from back in the summer of 1970. And interestingly enough, that can transition us into the discussion that we're going to have. I'm always pleased when we have guests in studio, and we have guests who has joined us in our studio here at WFAN this morning. After our 8 o'clock update, Rick Wolf is along with the Sports Edge program. Ed Randall will be by talking baseball after our 9 o'clock update. In studio with us this morning, I'm very pleased to say, we have Fred Watts, who is Executive Director of the Police Athletic League. He's been kind enough to come and join us on our program. We'll be talking about PAL and a lot to share in this discussion. Very appropriate for this time of the year, too. It's nice to have you join us. Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
Police Athletic League. A lot of people know the name. There are a lot of people who are in our listening audience who they themselves, like me, have had the experience of being involved with PAL as kids. But how do you describe what the Police Athletic League is to somebody who, and believe me, there may be people, this might be strange to you, strange concept, there may be people who have no idea what PAL is all about.
Well, we're over 100 years old, and we are one of the largest youth development organizations in the city. Our goal is to develop youth from the ages of 2, really right up to adulthood, in all sorts of activities, be they educational, sports, just a general making a better person. And we do that. The special sauce of the Police Athletic League is to do that with the help of law enforcement, specifically the New York City Police Department.
Now, you yourself, you're a child of a police officer.
I am.
All right. PAL, what did PAL mean in your life?
Well, growing up, I actually was more of a YMCA kid, mm-hmm. And sort of involved in a lot of activities, both in the Bronx and in Mount Vernon, where I grew up. But, of course, my father was a New York City police officer, and growing up, I sort of got to understand both the danger of the job as mm-hmm. well as kind of the, at least through the eyes of a child, the excitement of the job. And as I grew older, also the respect that police officers take the job to help people, and that their sort of special brand of both courage and knowledge of the city could really be of great help to others. And as I've gotten older and now obviously in this position, I can see that police officers can really be a vital tool to really help the community and particularly developing young people.
You know, you think in 2017, you think about the kinds of pressures that young people face today. They're different pressures than when you and I were coming along and were younger. The idea of having that kind of interaction, I'm going to call it, with law enforcement, how can that, I guess, guide or influence a child?
Well, I think of it in two ways. Often we speak of it sort of avoiding the negative. In other words, by interacting with the police, we can develop a good relationship and avoid negative things mm-hmm. in the future. And that is an important part. But I would like to start with the notion of the positive. And often we all know growing up, we need some kind of guidance, some kind of adult mentoring role model. Hopefully we can get it within our families, mm-hmm. but also beyond, be they teachers, coaches, people in the community. And because the police are such a powerful role in the community, the positive side of basically helping children understand, and when I say children, I mean from very young and growing up, that if there is trouble or if they need help understanding difficult situations that have evolved in today's society, that the police can be part of the solution to that. So to me, while the police, yes, that relationship is great to avoid negative consequences in the future, I would like to start with the positive consequences of just developing a good mentoring relationship with a community servant and doing so, a person with a special knowledge of how to avoid difficult situations.
And what do police officers say that does for them?
That's a very important aspect of this that it's important for me to constantly emphasize, and I'm glad you brought it up. The police, you know, they're a very diverse group. They may have grown up in the suburbs or maybe even another part of the country. They come to New York City. They want to serve the community. It's important that they learn about the community and learn about not only what the community's challenges are, but what an individual teenager might feel when they interact with the police. So by being able to develop that relationship, not in a street encounter, but rather in a classroom or in a sports context, it really helps to develop the knowledge of the police officers in the community they serve. And that, I think, calls for or creates a better policing environment.
Okay, here we are. We're almost in the middle of July. Man, summer's already, we're starting to whip along here. What kinds of programs, activities, Powell involved in?
We have an array of programs throughout the year, and focusing specifically on the programs that involve, where we really focus on this police relationship. We have a program called the Junior Police, actually, where elementary school kids work with police officers throughout the school year. They go on trips to the local precinct. They learn about community safety. They learn drills and so forth. But at its core, they develop a relationship with the leader of their junior police troop. And that's a really important program we do throughout the city. We also have another large program throughout the city is what we call our Cops and Kids sports programs. And that's where the younger children are coached by police officers in an array of sports, flag football, basketball, softball. But as they get older, the police officers become teammates of the teenagers. So throughout the year, various sports, we have really hundreds and hundreds of police officers that are interacting with children in this sports environment. And that creates, again, a really strong bond between the kids and the police officers. And that's something that we've been doing for a long time. We have a very interesting program called the Police Commissioner for a Day contest. And that is for high school students where they're posed a crime problem. This year was the opioid addiction problem. and they are asked to come up with a criminal justice solution. What would they do as police commissioner to address this problem? And we have hundreds of high school students that write these essays. A winner is selected, and then they spend the day at police headquarters, not only the individual winner, but actually we have about 100 different winners that interact again with the police at police headquarters. So this is just a sort of a taste of the kinds of sort of organized programs we do to really try to create a meaningful relationship between community and the police.
There must have been some fascinating responses though, this year in terms of the essays on that.
There really were. And, you know, it's fascinating to me because as we get older, we think we've learned a lot, and the winner, you know, basically laid out, excuse me, from her perspective, how to get to sort of students her age, and it was really a very insightful and impressive job.
Did that involve using social media?
Oh, indeed it does, because one of the, as we well know, the younger you are, the more likely you're having interactions, not so much face-to-face, but on your phone. And so doing the outreach to the peer group through social media is something that's very important.
And how does Pell work with social media?
Well, we're actually, what we try to do, I guess there's two aspects to it. The as an organization, we've tried to really do a better job in our outreach to let the community know about our program. So we're very active on Facebook. We're very active on Twitter. We try to post video of our events. So we've really tried to do that to sort of let the community know what we're doing. We've also tried to use social media to engage the youth. So we have what we called a Radio Rookies program. Actually, maybe we need to get you involved in
that. Radio Rookies? Really?
Where we have young people creating small podcasts, and we then promote those podcasts on our website. So we've been trying to use social media not only to promote the organization, but also to engage kids.
Very interesting. And I would imagine that the kids are fascinated, first of all, by the ability, and also their creativity then comes out too.
Absolutely. And, you know... Again, we're not a school. The kids come to us after school.
Right.
But the learning obviously doesn't stop. So what our challenge is to try to continue the enrichment and learning, but do it in a way that's fun. And I think using social media, some of these programs, having the kids create broadcasts, having the kids create projects, is the kind of learning that doesn't feel like school. But the learning continues. So that's something that we've tried hard to do.
That's some of the best education there is, when it is learning and it doesn't feel like school.
That's correct.
But trust me, that's what really works in many cases. Fred Watts, who's the executive director of the Police Athletic League, is our guest this hour of our program. And we're going to talk more with him, work in some of your thoughts as well. Because I know there's people who are listening to our discussion who, like me, have been involved with the PAL programs through the years. We'll talk more about some of the programs and talk also about ways it is that people who are listening to our discussion today can be supportive of your efforts. Talk about things like funding and the like as we continue on our program this Sunday morning. It is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf that follows our 8 o'clock update. Ed Randall is by talking baseball after our 9 o'clock update on The Fan this Sunday morning. I'm Bob Salter, Brian Rascona at the controls, giving us technical direction this Sunday morning. We are in discussion with Fred Watts, who's executive director of Police Athletic League, PAL or PAL, and we've got a lot to share in this discussion. A number of things I want to get into, but I also want to mention a way for people who are touched by some of the things that you're sharing with us, may want to be in contact with the Police Athletic League. How do they reach you? What's the best way?
The best way is to go on our website, which is palnyc.org, and that will describe our programs, give you contact information, also can direct you to our Facebook and Twitter feed, but palnyc.org is the best place to reach us.
There's a lot of information there. There's a lot of things that PAL is involved in. And as part of that, you use volunteers, okay? In what ways, what kind of qualities do people who volunteer have? Why did they say they do it?
People want to give. And in fact, I've learned over the last few years that, you know, when I got this job, I thought of fundraising as people wanted, you know, trying to get people to give money. But actually, as valuable as money can be, people also want to give of themselves. They want to give time. Mm-hmm. And my understanding and my experience has been younger people are particularly interested in touching the children and giving time. So we try to engage businesses and corporations to sort of rally their employees, as well as obviously individuals, to, you know, where they wish to give of their time to work with kids. Now, obviously, there are a variety of skills that you need to work with children, but the beauty is that since we do so many different kinds of events, we can find sort of a role for whatever your skills are. If you're not particularly you know, good at one thing, but you might be particularly good at something else, I'm sure that we have an event that where we could use the support.
And volunteers help out in a variety of different ways?
Any number of ways. So for example, our after-school programs, we have people that might just help in teaching computing or just simply reading to younger kids or helping a, you know, professional teacher just manage the classroom, you know, usher kids from one event to another. So it could be anything like that in our sort of organized after-school programs, to our sports programs, helping to coach teams is something that people have reached out to me about. And, of course, we have events during the summer in particular. We have a lot of large events, carnival events, sports days, where hundreds of kids may be in a particular facility, and having volunteers help manage those activities is something that's very helpful to us.
What kind of, I mean, in terms of facilities, what does PAL have at its disposal? I mean, the city is obviously huge. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different neighborhoods, areas that you're serving.
Yes. We have currently about 25 centers throughout the five boroughs. But when I say center, most of our centers are actually, we are sort of sharing space with typically it's a school, sometimes it's a public housing facility where they'll give us a certain amount of space and rooms for us to run our programs. Mm-hmm. So many of our programs throughout the city are that. They're co-located in a school or a NYCHA facility. But we do have seven sites, what we refer to as full-time PAL centers, that where we are, you know, essentially run the facility, and we have programming throughout the day. So we have three of those in Manhattan, one in Brooklyn, two in the Bronx, two in Queens. So hopefully that number reaches seven, if I got that right. But it's a little early this morning. But the point being, most of our centers co-located, but we do have those seven centers that are full-time PAL centers.
Play Streets. A lot of people have heard about these in the past. What's involved in Play Street?
Now, Play Street is really sort of what the PAL program was founded on 100 years ago, where police officers essentially cleared out a particular street or vacant lot that wasn't being used in any productive way and basically made a kind of an activity center for kids, typically in the summer. It has evolved over the years. Whereas to now, the concept is pretty similar. We essentially bring the camp to the neighborhood, but where we do it now, we try to focus more on parks, again, public housing facility, where there's some open space. We bring staff, we bring equipment. We eventually, as I said, we bring the camp to the community, and this year we focused particularly on sports, and we essentially run a drop-in camp this year, again, focusing on sports. We've had some great visitors that are coming. We had the New York Liberty come to one of our play streets. We're hoping that Joe Girardi is going to come to a play street, I believe, next week. So we're very excited about this concept of having the camp in the neighborhood and bringing sort of professional staff and outside visitors to really make it a lot of fun for the kids.
I would think I know the answer to this, but what's the reaction like? What's the impact in a community when you have, you know, somebody from the Liberty coming to visit, or you know, maybe next week you have Joe Girardi coming to visit?
Well, it's very exciting, and sort of keep in mind, you know, summer is, you know, is a time when, you know, young people often are, you know, they have less to do, especially at that sort of age. You're not quite old enough to work, but you want to organize activity. And to basically have a program, the play streets, like all of our programs, are free, walking distance from your, you know, home, and then to come and see somebody that maybe you've seen on television or that could inspire you to, you know, work towards a particular goal. It's really a valuable experience for the kids and really for all of us.
And actually, it gets into something I was thinking about as we started this program. I was thinking about this actually on my way to the city this morning. At the heart of, and I think back 1,000 years ago when I was in Pell. Actually, it was 1,001 years, Brian. It was that long ago. Okay. And thinking at that time, what that really meant. It meant also being a part of something. It wasn't this sense of isolation. It wasn't this sense of, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. And I might go the wrong way or get involved in the wrong sort of things. It was a certain focus, a place to go. And I made friends. That's the other benefit of this.
Absolutely. I mean, I do think you touch a very good point. I mean, as a father and as a member of this organization, you see that for children, belonging and being a part of something is very important. It's important for us as adults. We want to be a part of maybe the alumni network of our school or our families or our neighborhoods, whatever. And certainly it's a powerful message for kids. So in a complex world that we live in, the idea that in my neighborhood, there's a police athletic league center and you get a T-shirt and there's another kids that are kind of live near me and we sort of engage in similar activities and we're guided by, you know, professionals, teachers and youth development professionals and the local police officers. It is really a very powerful ingredient for communities and for individual kids. You raise a very good point.
Okay, and you said something very key, and usually I allude to this anytime we have people on who are from the running community. As you said, you get a T-shirt. Man, is that powerful. That is huge, the idea of getting that T-shirt, because it's like you get the T-shirt, you put the T-shirt on, and you never want to take it off.
Well, it's always cool to get what do they call it, swag these
right.
days, but it really does touch on what you pointed out. It's that sense of belonging. I'm part of a group, and that group is identified in this way. And it's just always nice to get free stuff. So so it's good for a few different reasons.
The summer day camps. Mm-hmm. What's involved with those
now? So we have our play streets, which is more of a drop-in program. Mm-hmm. Our summer day camps are a more typical day camp. So at those centers that I described, be they worked out of a school or out of our full-time centers, we have a full-time summer camp. Kids come early in the morning. I believe we actually give them breakfast and lunch, and they engage in activities throughout the day. We try to get them out of the centers, so to go on trips. The trips could be a local park or maybe even something further. But we basically take them through a more traditional camp experience, arts and crafts, sports. We also have tried to, in a kind of a subtle way, address through our education program what's to try to keep what they've learned throughout the school years kind of with them in the summer. So we have kind of some support services to prevent what is referred to as summer learning loss. So we do try to have people sort of a light touch of academic work as well. But the whole point is to kind of have fun, have something good to do in the summer, and have something nourishing as well.
You want to promote it in the fashion where, yes, you're learning, but you're also primarily there to have fun.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Summer is, I vividly remember going to summer camp and the idea, and my parents always promoted this, is you're supposed to be outside and have fun as much as possible. And that's what we try to do with our camps as well.
Okay. Now, this gets into an interesting area I want to touch upon, because there's something we hear an awful lot about kids today, and I want to touch upon this in just a moment. Let me mention the fact that for folks who are listening to us, maybe you're a PAL alumnus, if you want to join us in our discussion, feel free. 877-337-6666, our number here at The Fan. We're talking with Fred Watts, who's Executive Director of Police Athletic League. PALNYC.org, the website, if you want to get information on volunteering, get information on some of the programs, perhaps be helpful in some way to the efforts of PAL. Very often we hear talked about this idea that kids don't go outside. They don't spend all day and night like I did riding a bicycle. Okay. How does the work of PAL help, I guess, make sure that they get out and get some exercise and movement?
I mean, I think one of the keys, I think first step is to get kids off their phones. So
good luck with that, huh?
Yeah, so it's hard, but so there is a focus on, you know, because at a very young age, kids have phones, mm-hmm. and so they need to put them away. And it's obviously, we're adamant about our staff having their phones away so that we are having interpersonal engagement. So that's step one. But we really do have a organized, in the after-school program and in the summer, kind of a curriculum, an approach that really tries to get people up and moving. Now, obviously, we're in the city, so we're not always kind of in a large field, but summer trips, actually trips throughout the year, whether it's to bowling or to a museum or to a local park, to just be up, moving, see a new experience, a new place, move around. We have organized recreational activities with, you know, a curriculum associated with that. We very much promote competitive sports as well. We've created internal leagues where, you know, team from Brooklyn plays team from Queens, which is always a very exciting for the kids. And we basically built into our programming is this notion that we are here to interact with each other, to be up, moving, and compete, you know, we're kids like that. So it is really a key part. And we have also tried to sort of incorporate, to the extent that we can, sort of a nutrition wellness approach. So we're sort of pretty adamant about what foods the kids can have while in the centers, and we really try to promote a kind of a healthy lifestyle.
Fred Watts, who's Executive Director of Police Athletic League, talking with us on our program on The Fan this Sunday morning. Oh, I enjoy listening to them, too. Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Salter. We're in discussion on our program with Fred Watts, who's Executive Director of Police Athletic League, palnyc.org, the website. If you wanted more information on some of the things we're talking about and some of the work of the Police Athletic League, I said we'll also try to work in some thoughts from some of the folks who are listening to us. WFAN's toll-free line, 877-337-6666. It is brought to you by Mohegan Sun Connecticut, Mohegan Sun Pocono, and Resorts Atlantic City. After our 8 o'clock update, Rick Wolf is along with the Sports Edge program. Ed Randall comes by after our 9 o'clock update, talking baseball here on The Fan. If you're a PAL alumnus, or perhaps you were touched by some of the things that Fred has shared with us in our discussion, jump in the discussion with us this morning, 877-337-6666. Let's go to the phones. We're going over to West Orange, New Jersey, to Joanne, who's been holding for a while. Joanne, good morning. Welcome to The Fan.
Good morning.
I understand
you. I am a PAL alumnus.
Well.
I'm in my late 60s now, and I was a member of PAL when I was in my early teens. I loved track and field. My dad had been a runner, and this was before Title IX, so there were not a lot of opportunities, none that we knew of, for me to really exercise that love of track and field. And then we discovered PAL at the 103rd Precinct, which is the precinct where I lived in Queens, and they had a team. We didn't have T-shirts, unfortunately, but we did have a girls' relay team that ran what was then the 440 relay, and we were very successful. We were Queens champs for 3 years. We went to the citywide championships, and it was always something to look forward to each season. We had practice after school, so I would rush home from school and get into my track stuff and run over to the field so we could practice. We had volunteer coaches. My dad was a volunteer coach. And I just wanted to say thank you, because it was a way for me to do something I loved and the only way that I could do it.
I mean, that's a terrific story. And it highlights what we're trying to do now. Obviously, with Title IX, there are more opportunities for competition, but still in a large public school system, not everybody gets the opportunity to compete and be part of a team. So what Joanne's story points out is that need and how valuable that was to her, we're trying to continue to provide that today. So it's great to hear that story, because we're trying to create that experience for kids today.
And even as a side note, I went to a private school, so there were even less opportunities at that level, because they could provide you the education. But, in terms of what they would call frills, and that was a frill, that wasn't going to happen. So it made it even more valuable for me.
We've also seen that although with Title IX, obviously sports in, for girls and women has exploded, there still are challenges. And We have had programs that were co-ed, and they kind of crowded the girls out. So we have really tried hard to have programs like track and field, volleyball, and our other sports as well, but where the girls can compete and participate among themselves, because I think it's really a valuable learning experience and just a fun experience for kids. So your story is a great story, and it's needed today, just like it was when you were growing up.
Great. Thank you.
Joanne, thank you.
Thank you for your call this morning. Although I'm sorry to hear this. They didn't have t-shirts then. Come on. That was a huge thing. I'm still thinking back on the t-shirts. Oh man, that's just what that meant. Oh, wow. Now, I've got to ask you about something that we have not talked about thus far in our discussion. A nonprofit organization, especially one in New York City, in 2017. Funding, fundraising, what's that like?
It's a everyday task. We get funds from, we are fortunate that we get supported by a variety of sources. The city of New York does support some of our programs quite generously, and that's helpful. So we do use government funding, but the government funding is not enough to create all of the programs that we want. So we solicit funds from individuals, from corporations, foundations. We go wherever we feel we can sort of interest people in our mission and support us. So it is a constant, but I must say it's also, while it can be frustrating, it also can be very gratifying to see that people will go into their pockets and give of themselves to help somebody else. And that's a very rewarding and gratifying experience. And I have found that people are very generous. So while you have to struggle, there are good people out there that really want to support kids. And that's been very gratifying.
And people who are touched want to be supportive, the best way for them to do that?
The best way to do it is to go on our website. You can do anything from make a direct donation. You can volunteer. You could perhaps participate in one of our special events. We have various fundraising events. We have a 5K that we do at the end of the year that you'll see more about that on our website. So there are a variety of ways to, in some fun way, to support PAL.
Mm. Very good. And let's go back to the phone. 877-337-6666 is our phone number. And along after our 8 o'clock update, Rick Wolf with the Sports Edge program. Marty in the Bronx has called in. Marty, good morning. Welcome to the Fan.
Yeah, good morning. I heard this. I had to call in. I grew up on 151st Street in the Bronx. I still live in the neighborhood. But we had Play Street. We loved it. We'd play all day till 9 o'clock at night when we took down the police barricade. It gave us a sense of ownership. This was our block. It was a great sense of safety. I grew up in the 70s, and the neighborhood was getting a little crazy then. I always have to tell this story. They took us swimming. We'd go local St. Mary's pool, but we also, this was genius. We'd go swimming in Staten Island. We're in the Bronx. We'd take the subway, take the ferry, walk to St. George's pool, and then do the same thing all over again. But we loved it, and we got a boat ride, a train ride, saw the Statue of Liberty, and again, a sense this was our city. It was safe. We learned how to ride the trains. Get, you know, street smart is knocked down sometimes, but street smart just teaches you how to navigate the world. And we owe a great debt of gratitude to Play Street. I still have friends who we grew up together on that block. And I just want to thank PAL, and I try to send in my donation every year.
Well, we appreciate, Marty, your donation, and that story is great. And it does focus on something that I should, when we talked about getting up and going out, having the kids moving, your experience is something that we try to do. This notion, I mean, I remember as a child, I grew up in the Bronx and in Mount Vernon. My parents on a hot night would just drive us down to the Staten Island Ferry. We would just take a ride over. And that's, you know, that's... It's genius, and we try to do that with the kids. We have a big event coming up in end of July in Staten Island, and we're going to do exactly what you described. We're going to bring the kids out and have a carnival in Staten Island, and those kids may have never been to Staten Island. They'll be in a big park. They'll get an experience. They'll be up and out. What you described is, you know, what I say is that, you know, the simple, the fundamentals, you know, sort of carry, and the things that you experienced, we're carrying today, and it's great to hear that they worked for you, and I hope they're working for the kids today.
Yeah, thanks, PAL. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for your call this morning, your comments to Marty. All right, you just mentioned something which is very key. In some cases, kids have never left their borough, which still always is an amazing thing to me. What PAL does, in a way, is helping them learn how to adjust to the world.
Yes, I mean, there are, as we know, New York City is a, there are many, many people that live here, millions of people, and yet our environments are often very close. We're used to our neighborhood, our school, our blocks. We do try to open people up. Starting with the city is a great way to start. But we actually try to even go beyond that. We've with our teen programs, we try to get the kids out of the city. We have organized college trips so that the kids both to kind of encourage the notion of achievement in college, but also to see another part of the country. And see different aspects of life beyond New York City. So we do try to get people beyond their borough and beyond their neighborhoods and maybe even beyond the city as both a learning experience and just a way to kind of aspire to do something, to do diverse things, different things.
All right. I have to ask the question because it's one usually we touch upon with anybody who's in a position like yours with a nonprofit organization in this day and age, what's on your wish list?
Oh, well, I've got a long wish list.
Somehow I'm not surprised that you didn't say, oh, nothing.
I would say, well, I'll pick up on the college readiness program. One of the experiences I've seen in some of the studies that have been done is that the graduation rate and from public high schools and the preparedness to go to college, especially for kids of color, has been disappointing. And we have a small program, highly successful program, that encourages kids to graduate from high school. We have a very high graduation rate, over 90%, and those kids all go to college. I would love to expand that program. Get kids to see colleges both in the city, beyond the city, be prepared to go to college. So that's sort of one thing that comes immediately to mind is if we could expand some of our teen programming so that kids, as they come of age, are prepared to further their education. That takes resources, it takes space, it takes teachers, it takes money. if we could do that throughout the city. We do it now in two boroughs, which is great, and those kids get a great experience. If we could expand that, that would be one of the things high on my wish list.
What two boroughs are you doing
now? We are in Queens and in the Bronx right now. We actually have a great relationship with Fordham University, where they sort of help us to through some of their programs, sort of get the kids ready for, sort of they bolster their experience in high school and give them a sense of what it would be like to go to college. It's been an inspiring experience for those kids that sort of meet the students. They're mentored by students and staff at Fordham. Really wonderful experience for our kids. And it would be great if, rather than to serve, we probably serve about 100 kids in that program now, if we could serve many, many more.
Mm. That'd be something. It'd be wonderful to be able to have that in all the boroughs.
Absolutely.
And to have the involvement of, you know, this rich bounty, basically, of schools.
Absolutely.
You know, because you think of all the different schools that there are in the city, and having them involved in that and what that kind of diversity could add
Absolutely.
To what you're able to do.
You've touched on another thing on my wish list, which is the, as you point out, with the CUNY system and so many schools in New York City, we are slowly creating relationships with those schools so that the students of our local colleges could serve in our centers as teachers and basically to support our educational programs, making that connection. And especially in New York City, where often if you go to, for example, Queens College, you're often from Queens, not always, obviously, but so a kid in a Queens program could see a neighborhood kid who's going to the local college. And I think that that experience for both parties actually would be very valuable.
Hmm. It does sound like a very rewarding idea. Fred Watts, who's executive director of Police Athletic League, PAL, is our guest this hour of our program on The Fan. PALNYC.org, the website. Now, folks who have just joined us in our discussion, we talked earlier about this idea of volunteers. What can you use? What kind of qualifications do people need if they want to volunteer?
What people really need is a little time and to be able and care about kids. That's really all you need. Now, obviously, we do a vetting process to make sure that a person is appropriate to work with children. I mean, we'll take it from there. But in terms of your interest, you don't have to have any specific skill. You simply have to want to support kids in some way. Now, let's just say, for example, you don't really like interacting with kids, but you're really good with your hands. Well, then maybe you could help us put together some of the physical supports that we need for some of our programs. So it seems to me that if you want to help kids growing up in the city and you have any interest in doing that, we can find a way to use your skills to help those kids.
Very interesting discussion. Certainly good luck continued with your efforts and with your work. It sounds like very rewarding work as well. And I thank you for coming in and sharing this information with us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
You certainly touched a lot of people, and for some of us, brought back some memories, too, throughout the years. Because I'm still focused on that shirt. Now, I can't get this off my mind. Literally, this is in the center of my focus here. PALNYC.org, the website. Go there, be helpful, be supportive of the efforts of Police Athletic League, please. After our 8 o'clock update, Rick Wolf is along with the Sports Edge program. After our 9 o'clock update, well, as they say, the fortunes, they kind of turn a bit and change. In other words, that means Ed Randall will be by. He'll be talking baseball here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.